Okay. Hello everyone and welcome to this presentation where we'll talk about automated short-term trend planning, what it means and how we handle it in OSRD. So what is the problem? Let's say a train wants to go from station Fu to station Bar. We could easily just find the path, but the problem is there's many trains that have already been scheduled and we need to find a path that doesn't just wreak havoc on a timetable. We can be completely realistic in our simulation. We assume everything is on time. We know where every train is going to be located at any time. So there's a few rules we have to follow to make our blue train go to station Bar. We can't add a train that would be delayed by other trains. So in those examples, I use a signaling system pretty simple where a signal is red if there's a train behind it and the signal is yellow, meaning slow down, if the next signal is red. What I mean here is that our train cannot ever see a yellow signal, meaning slow down. We can add delay before it reaches a signal, but once the blue train sees a yellow signal, it's game over, the solution is invalid. The opposite is of course true. We cannot cause delay on other scheduled trains, meaning by being here, a blue train cannot cause another train to see a yellow signal, or red, of course. This means that we need to handle all the weird behaviors of the signaling systems, which can become pretty chaotic quite quickly. So in these examples, there's one track with signals going both ways. And what happens here actually is that signals change around the train, but what really matters is on the right, the other train cannot actually enter the main track at all, even if it's really far away, because otherwise they'd go face to face. And so the last signal would be red, the signal behind that would be yellow, and as soon as we see it, it's over. There's some other weird behavior. Sometimes we even have to know in advance where we will go next to know if we would be delayed. So in this example, if the train continues straight forward, it would see a green signal. But if it would turn to the right to the other train, it would see a yellow signal before we even reach the point where we need to take a decision. This may seem pretty minor here, but in some signaling systems, it can. We need to know like kilometers in advance. But there are some things we can do. The train can take detours to avoid busy areas. And we can also sometimes not go at maximum speed, like if we need to fit between two trains that would go slower than our train, we can just slow down. What this means is that this is actually not a good thing for us, because we can't just find the shortest path and then find the departure time. We need to actually consider all the possibilities that we have. So that's the problem. And in OSRD, we are currently working on a solution to this problem. So OSRD, meaning Open Source Railway Designer, is a tool that open source tool that can be used to edit railway infrastructure and run all kinds of simulations on them. Keep in mind that on these specific features, we've come a long way, but it's still very much a work in progress. So not everything is properly handled for now. And we're still currently working on it. So how do we deal with this? The main problem is that the solution space has a lot of dimensions. There's of course position, because we do need to find a path that goes from origin to destination. There's also time, because the constraints caused by other trains depends only in certain time interval when the other train is here. And the tricky one is speed, because unlike cars and bikes and most means of transportation, a train cannot just speed up really fast. It can take dozens of kilometers to just speed up or slow down. So if we find, for example, a solution that does reach our destination, avoiding all other trains, but where we reach the destination at, say, 300 kilometers per hour, this is not a good solution. It's not even a good approximation of a solution. So we do need to keep track of the speed that can be reached by the train. So the way we do that is that we represent the search space as a graph. that consider all those dimensions as well as all the constraints. Because once we do have a graph like that, we can just find a path. And at this step, it becomes pretty simple. So the main challenge is defining the problem itself as a graph. So in this case, a node would have a position, a time, and a speed to consider those three dimensions. And most nodes are defined implicitly. To get the speed and times, we run train simulations, which we already know how to do in other parts of the project. So we consider everything we need to, like slope, curves, rolling stock data, and everything we need to. So I have a small
question. Is the speed derivable from the position and time?
Yes, but we actually compute the speed to get the position and the time. So I have a small graphical representation to explain really what I mean by that when we add time to our solution. So let's say we start from a simple graph that represents the physical infrastructure. In this case, that would be, for example, track sections. And what we do is, in a way, we duplicate all nodes of the graph at different times, meaning that the point A always represents a specific point in space. But there's a different node for A at t equals 0 and another node for A at t equals 1, and so on. And then we link them in a way that actually reflects the travel time, so meaning that we start at A at t equals 0 and we can reach C at a certain time after. And we can't, for example, go from A to F at the same time because we can't just teleport there. So this graph is constructed as we explore it. It would be too expensive to just build a whole graph on the whole country at first. So it's all implicitly defined at first, but then we actually run simulations when we move forward in the graph. It's also discretized in time, but only when we evaluate visited location. What I mean by that is that when we run simulations, we actually keep full track of the time at full accuracy. But once we reach a point that has already been visited, if we've visited it at too close in time, we consider that it's already visited. Once we have that graph, we just run an A star on the resulting on that graph. So A star means we have two functions to define. We have a cost function and an optimization heuristic. In this case, the cost function would be the travel time of the train from start to the current point. And the optimization heuristic is based on geographical data. And because our heuristic doesn't overestimate the remaining cost, we are guaranteed to find the optimal solution. So we will find the path that takes the least amount of time. But I've talked about how we add time to the graph, but I haven't really talked about speed yet. So the default behavior is that we always go at full speed unless we need to. By full speed, I mean not just the maximum allowed speed, like the train speed up as much as it can and always stays at maximum speed. So in this slide, we have a space-time chart. So we have time on the horizontal axis and distance on a given path on the vertical axis. And there's an area that is unavailable, meaning there's another train, for example, in this specific area at a given time. And I've shown the edges, the arrows represent edges of the graph. So in this case, we can just if we speed up as much as we can go before that other train, but we also could go after that train, which would lead to different solutions. So in this case, we actually create several edges that are all considered as valid paths. In a way, you can see it as a decision tree, except we can actually reach the same point through different paths. So I've talked about the general principle of the solution. Now I'll talk about a few problems we faced and how we handle them. Spoiler, most of them concern speed because it's actually a pain to manage. So as I said, we run simulation to get the speed of the train but we do that only one edge at a time when we explore the graph. What that means is that we don't know what comes after. So when we reach our destination, we only know that when we explore the graph, the edge that contains that destination. But that doesn't always leave enough distance to properly break. So yeah, in this example, we have speed plotted with the distance, and we start in the first edge by going at full speed, and then we see that we need to stop there. We start breaking, and there's a discontinuity. This is not a valid solution. So in the next slide, it's mostly the same situation, but represented differently. Here we have edges of the graph, where in red we have edges where we speed up, and in blue where we try to slow down. And we have the same discontinuity here. To stop at the end of section 4, we need to enter that section at 10 km per hour. But because we've been speeding up, we're at 50 km per hour. So the way we do this, we handle this case, is that we go back in the graph, we backtrack to backpropagate the constraints. So we see that there's a discontinuity there. And what we actually do is that we go over the previous section and we create a new graph edge, but this time slowing down. And we know that we need to enter the last section at 10 km per hour. So we create an edge where we end at 10 km per hour. We notice that to do that, we need to enter that section at 20 km per hour, which is still not the same as the previous edge. So we keep going, and we continue creating new edges going over the previous section until we have something that looks like that. We have a valid path that actually stops there. The two different paths still exist in the graph, because if we go another direction or something like that, we can still find paths that would take the top path. Then there's another problem. I've talked about adding delay previously to go after another train, but I haven't explained how we do that. So when we can, as long as we can, we shift the departure time, meaning that the train, for example, needs to leave not just at 10 a.m., but like between 10 and 12 or something like that. So if we notice that the train reached the final station like 15 minutes too early and the other train is already is still there, we just make the new train leave 15 minutes later, and this fixes the problem. But this is not always possible. Like in this example, if we try to shift the departure time to avoid the problems on the section 3, we would cause new problem on section 1. So we actually need to add delay between two specific points of the path without affecting the rest. And the way we handle this is actually the same way as the other problem, meaning that we go back, we backtrack on the graph to propagate the to add the delay. So we actually have the old edges that go at maximum speed, but we have a new edges going from section 1 to 3 that has what we call an engineering allowance. I can't go too much into details in how it's computed, but basically the idea is that we can do precisely what we need to. We add delay between two points of the path by slowing the train down without affecting the rest of the path. So this edges here isn't changed. This one is actually the same, but this one is slowed down. So we're nearing the end of the presentation. So to conclude, what we can do, we can find paths that avoid delay on any train, the one we add and any other. We can take detours, we can slow down, we can have all kinds of ways to avoid any scheduled train. There's some features I haven't really talked about because I didn't have the time, but for example, the user can input allowance parameter. What it means is that the train generally go a bit slower than they can at fastest, so that they can catch up their delay if they are being delayed. And as far as performances go, it takes up to about 5 seconds. So it's not instant, but not really a problem for now. Yeah, this is good enough. And there are some features that we still need to work on. For example, the signaling systems. For now, we only support the simplest signaling systems. The reason for that is because we are currently refactoring the signaling engine in OSRD, which is actually really amazing, and we would have loved to talk about it today. But it's almost finished, and when it is done, we need to plug the two systems together. There's some features a bit more minor, like for now, the user can set the departure time and leave the arrival time unspecified. We also need to do the opposite, meaning we need to arrive at a given time and we don't know when we leave. And we also need the user to be able to say we want to stop there, there, and there on the path. Okay, so I've been faster than I thought. So what I'm going to do is that I'll show a small video demonstration of the project. This is a few months old, but it shows generally what we do, what we can do with this tool. So we are on the Brittany region of France, and we had a train that go from Lorient to Brest. This is, we just set the schedule. We have several trains going there, which we can see here. I won't go too much into details in what the boxes are, but generally it's like, if this box overlap, a train is slowed down. So now we ask for a last minute train that starts from Rennes to Brest. And we do find the path. So I'll explain a bit. I do have time. What we see here, horizontal axis is a time, vertical axis is distance, and previous trains we already added are toward the end of the path, so we see them at the top, and the new train goes over the whole path. Okay, now we add some other trains. No, we don't add other trains, we move the one of the trains so that it blocks one. Actually the path we took at first. So if we re-ask for another train, what we'll see is that it will be shifted to avoid the previous one. and we notice that it leaves around 7:20, something like that. So what we'll do is that we'll add another train, this time going to Quiberon. Called Tire-Bouchon. And we'll make it leave a bit, around that time. We had a few of them. And okay, what we see here is that the train started before all those trains that have been added on the first of. Actually, I'll explain a bit more. The trains we have added diverge here, like from here they move away from the path we use to Quiberon, but so we only see them up to here, and the train we add starts before, then it slows down to enter in this section here. And we can see the speed of the trains, so it don't see the 12. Anyway, I'll move on to the questions. I have also all kind of links, website for the project, GitHub link, an email. Yes.
Does this kind of solution is used to create schedules in advance?
It's not used to create the schedules, actually. It's used once the schedule is set.
Like in last minute? You need to add a train on
Yeah, that's
date.
It. There's a given date where the... it's something I wanted to talk about, but didn't really have time in this presentation. So there's the train... railway manager offers some paths for trains, and at a given time, those paths are assigned to trains, like train operators who run their trains on those paths. And once this is set, there's still room for more trains. And this is what we do here. We find room for new trains. Yes?
5 seconds response time.
Yep.
It's for how many nodes and trains?
Not a lot of trains. We don't have the tools yet to import a whole, what we call SA. I'm not sure what the English, like the whole set of trains on a line.
Good.
Yeah. there's generally we test with a few trains here and there, like the kind of things that I showed, and pass over a few hundred kilometers. And we do know that it doesn't scale that well with a number of trains, and we'll work on that kind of questions when we have something actually working and finished. Yep. Actually, didn't really hear your question that well. Sorry. If I got it right, like you asked about the troubles we can find along the way.
Where, for example?
Mostly, we assume at this step that everything is on time and works as expected. When people like work on the tracks or something like that, we know in advance that it's unavailable. Yeah.
It's not real time.
Not real time. Yeah, it's not real time. It's actually not exactly last minute. It's generally a few days before the trains actually run. So, yeah, it's a fair assumption to just.
Theoretical timetable.
Theoretical timetable.
There was one question on the chat.
Yeah.
That this problem might be a good candidate for an artificial intelligent planner solver. I have to consider that. And please repeat the question.
Someone asked in the chat if artificial intelligence have been considered for this problem. We do have considered them in the project in general, but not specifically in this context. I personally don't think it would help that much. I mean, it would be a good heuristic to know which path to evaluate before another, but if we want to still find a good path toward the end, we do need to explore all the kind of solutions. The place where we thought about using artificial intelligence is a decision like which train goes before one another. The context where we really thought about this is not in this case, but like when trains are actually running late, which one do we favor over one over the other? I think it would be a good heuristic in this case, but not really that important. I know.
There was another question.
Yep.
What are the biggest remaining challenges to be solved?
Definitely the signaling interface, plugging the things together. Because as I showed in this slide, this problem, this is a pain. We do have some leads, like some intuition that we could do things in some way, but I won't go too much into details because we don't know if that's true, if the solution we are thinking about are valid or not. But we'll work on that in the next few months anyway. So, yeah.
I'm working in an international organization, but handling aviation through planes, so same kind of problems, but with additional dimension. And I'm asking, how have you managed, or your organization has managed to say we will do that open source and we'll have this type of solution available for others. So I guess you are working for SNCF, so you had to get some money from SNCF and make open source. How have you got agreement on that?
So the question is how we managed to make the project open source in SNCF. So I'm not actually the one taking those decisions or even negotiating them. But the general idea, I think, I mean, that's my vision of it, is that we don't have any competition or something like that. We run the infrastructure for France, and I think no one else will. So maybe the other countries nearby have the same kind of problem, and maybe they could use our solution and maybe contribute their contribute to that solution, to these tools. And generally, it makes more sense to contribute than to compete in this context. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you for the spread.
Thank you.
So, the presentation has arrived on time. We are starting in a few minutes with the next part by Joël. Thank you. That's great.